Here's Ed Taylor with today's episode of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast.
You have tuned in to today's episode of Lead to Serve. My name is Ed Taylor, and I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, which is a Denver suburb. Been pastoring here for 20 years, and what a privilege and pleasure it is to be a small part of your world through the podcast. And this is the podcast where we're learning the depths of servanthood, the principles that Jesus has given to us, because we know that his wisdom is better than any wisdom this world has to offer. And as we learn from the heart of Jesus, the character and the nature of Jesus Christ, it's going to naturally make us better leaders. Today's episode, I've entitled Continually Improving Yourself. And the topic is really about the importance of the choice you and I need to make as leaders to continue to improve ourselves. Now, by this time, listening in the podcast, even if this is your first episode, built into your DNA already is a desire to improve yourself. That's why you're looking for resources on leadership, why you're looking for podcasts that might help you lead better, maybe a principle here, a principle there. And for that, I commend you. And that's the right mindset. But I think by now it's time for us to be reminded that leadership growth starts with you. And it's not my responsibility. It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's not your manager or your supervisor's responsibility. It's your responsibility to grow. And I could even say this, the Bible says that we're to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're to grow, we're to study to show ourselves approved. So today will be a stirring episode for some of you, because I'm just going to lay it out for you the importance of how you need to take responsibility for yourself and for your leadership. I forget who said this, but someone once said, leadership starts with leading yourself. And I just find this to be an area that lacks in many people. And one of the reasons they feel frustrated in their leadership is because they've skipped over this area. They've skipped over this task. They've skipped over the importance of leading themselves. And what happens when you choose not to lead yourself well, you're not going to lead others well. It's going to smack of hypocrisy, where you tell someone else to do something, but you're not doing it yourself. And it's pretty obvious. You know, you tell someone to read a book, but you're not reading a book. You tell someone to listen to a study, you're not listening to a study. You tell someone to go do something and you're not doing it. It's going to lead to stagnation. It's going to lead to frustration. And it's so easy. Like, the Lord has given us the ability to lead ourselves. And I don't mean, again, remember, the principles we're sharing here are under the banner of God's word, the sufficiency of his Spirit, the need for us to be abiding in Christ. Of course, of course, of course. But that does not relegate, abiding in Christ doesn't mean you don't do anything. As a matter of fact, abiding in Christ means that you are active, actively obedient. Abiding in Christ means that you are ever growing, because God is doing that work in your life. And you and I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to learn. I want God to use me in greater ways, not lesser ways. And that's going to require me stepping in and pressing in. I'm reminded, when I was putting my notes together for this podcast, I was reminded of Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11, where it says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs. He's not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste has remained in him, and his scent has not changed. Now, the picture here is the ancient art of winemaking and having vessels with grape juice in them to let them sit there so that the juices would ferment, and the act of fermentation would take place after they put the yeast in there, and then the impurities would begin to settle in the bottom of the barrel. And if they let them settle too long, it would ruin the whole barrel. So what they did is they would take one barrel and pour it into another, and then skim off the impurities, let it sit, let it ferment. And then they'd take that barrel and pour it into another one and scrape off the impurities until they had the perfected wine that they were looking for. And that's the picture here. Here is an example in the life of Jeremiah, of course, of the judgment of God and the lack of obedience. But there's a group of people that we just became settled. And I don't want you to become settled. One of my motives in talking to you through this podcast and having a conversation together is I don't want you to become settled. God's hand is upon you. He's entrusted you. He's brought you this far. The Bible says God raises up one and he puts down another. So take hold of the responsibilities that God has given to you and continually improve yourself. So it's really cool that you are, like you're checking out this podcast and probably reading a book, and you don't want to become settled. That's the warning. Don't become settled, but you want to be fresh and ready, open to change. Are you open to change? I hope you are. I hope you're open to God doing a fresh new work in your life. Part of what we do here in our church is we want to prepare people for change, because if there's anything that is common in our lives, it's change. And part of the encouragement documents, we call it our culture statements. We've called them axioms, but we have culture statements. If you email me, I'd be glad to send this to you. We're just in the process of updating our website. By the time this podcast is dropped, I'm sure we'll be live with our podcast. And these are our culture statements, our mutual dedication. It's a definition of our relationship with one another. And one of them is entitled, We Embrace Change. You want to be a part of our team. You want to be a part of our church. You want to jump into what God is doing. I think in the historical ministry of Calvary Chapel, this is standard. Somehow it's been lost along the way. And there's a lack of embracing change or even looking for change or even making change for the sake of following God. You know, just like the children of Israel, they had to be open for change every day. If the cloud moved, they had to move. They couldn't say, oh no, we like it here. It's always been good here. And I'll see you later, cloud. You're going to go do a new work, but that's not us. We are this and we'll never be that. I mean, obviously, you Bible students, you know, that's silly. That's just silly. Why do some people say that then now? Why are they saying, well, God is moving? No, 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 that's not us. That's not us. That's not our distinctive. That's not our DNA. That's not us. What do you mean that's not us? To be ready for change. And here, listen, this is what we wrote. And I want to give a special thanks to Calvary Church in Albuquerque and Pastor Skip Heitzig and Pastor Nate Heitzig and, of course, our friend Pastor Chip Lusco there and a lot of different people that have helped us over the years. But we got this idea of the axioms from Albuquerque and adapted them for our church. And here's what we wrote for number two. We embrace change. And I quote, we believe that God moves in many different ways. Likewise, the leadership and vision that God provides doesn't always come in the same form. Creativity demands a certain level of change, and yet change needs to be focused and controlled. We embrace change and don't use the past as a crutch for the future. The message will not change, but the methods will always change. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that's in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. Here's the explanation. The message of the gospel never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet methods change all the time. And the methods we employ in spreading the gospel are adaptable to the needs that are in front of us. God has allowed us to enjoy new technologies, new innovative methods, and given his church extremely creative people to reach the lost. It's a good idea to try things out. Some will work, some won't. But as long as we're being led by the Spirit, we can trust that he will use us. Embrace change. There'll be a lot of changes in our fellowship until he returns. can I just say that's true for your life and mine? There's going to be a lot of changes in our life until the Lord returns. And so my encouragement is to embrace change. And that's one reason why people don't want to continually improve themselves. You just think you've arrived. You think you've learned all there is, or maybe you're in information overload, perhaps, and you're just like, I can't learn anything else. It's not true. You can choose to focus like a laser to improve yourself. You know, this isn't anything new. Let's go back 100+ years ago to a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. And this is a book you're going to want in your library. It's called Lectures to My Students, Volume 1. Lectures to My Students, Volume 1. Lecture number 1 in Volume 1 is entitled The Minister's Self-Watch. And in this lecture, in this study, it's to students that want to be pastors. He lays before them the necessity of the self-watch, the self-improvement. He starts out by saying, every workman knows the necessity of keeping his tools in a good state of repair, for if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. And he says, if the workman lose the edge of his axe, he knows that there'll be a greater drought upon his energies, or his work will be badly done. Michelangelo, the elect of the fine arts, understood so well the importance of his tools that he always made his brushes with his own hands. In this, he gives us an illustration of the grace of God, who with special care fashions for himself all true ministers. And it's true that the Lord will continue to fashion you. And one of the facts he says, which is clear enough, is this, that the Lord usually adapts means to ends, from which the plain lesson is that we shall be likely to accomplish most when we are in the best spiritual condition. Or, in other words, we shall usually do our Lord's work best when our gifts and graces are in good order, and we should do our worst when they are most out of trim. This is a practical truth for our guidance, he says. When the Lord makes exceptions, they do but prove the rule. We are in a certain sense our own tools, and therefore we must keep ourselves in order. Isn't that so good? This is Lectures for My Students by Spurgeon. It's important that we choose to improve ourselves. I think it was Oswald Sanders in his book Spiritual Leadership. He had a chapter on readers. They said readers are leaders. And, you know, to read is to always take in new information and to learn from someone else. I'll get to that in a second. But the idea of improving ourselves is a theme you're going to read in every leadership book, in every leadership podcast. I mean, the whole point of putting information out there is so that we might grow in our understanding. McShane was writing to a ministerial friend, Robert Murray McShane, and Spurgeon quotes him. I love this. I've used this quote many times. He says, he's writing to a friend that's learning German, and he says, I know you will apply hard to German, but do not forget the culture of the inner man, I mean of the heart. How diligently the cavalry officer keeps his saber clean and sharp. Every stain he rubs off with the greatest care. Remember you are God's sword, his instrument, I trust, a chosen vessel unto him to bear his name. In great measure, according to the purity and perfection of the instrument, will be the success. And listen, this was the summary. It is not great talents God blesses so much as likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. So there's the practical and the spiritual. And I know in this podcast, we get a lot of practical insight, but I don't want you ever to neglect the spiritual. Because you can be very prepared practically and not be prepared spiritually. And spiritual always comes first. And that personal improvement and personal growth is essential. You just simply cannot serve effectively today like you did 20 years ago. You can't rely upon the past. You can't rely upon the past exploits. It can't always be a testimony of the past. It's not always remember the good old days. Now, right now is the good old days, this moment, the moment that we're living in. And we can't lean on our own understanding, and we can't lean on our own past, or even be condemned by our past failures. You know, that's a piece that maybe that'll be a different podcast altogether, but you can't let the failures of the past paralyze you from serving today. And while we serve others, and as we're helping others, it's easy to forget the culture of the inner man. It's easy to forget the improvement of the outer man and the ability to put biblical principles into practice in the lives of others, learning how to serve in such a way that we're leading people into the presence of God. And this includes a strong devotional life. This includes a regular ongoing prayer life. This includes being in the Bible, not just for a Bible study, but because God loves you and the Word of God is His methodology to disciple you. You're not just the pastor. You're not just the leader. You're not just the manager. You're not just the overseer. You are a brother, a sister in the Lord. You are my co-laborer. And your development and my development is just as important as anyone else. So here are a few things to consider. Number one, take the call to grow. Receive it. Step out into areas of faith. Like, put yourself out there and take a chance. Step out in faith. Ask questions. Step up and step into. I love that. Step up and step into. When there are new opportunities, take them. I served with a pastor for many years in California, Pastor Rudy Cardenas, who taught me that I should say yes to every invitation to share the Word of God, and that I should say yes to every invitation to share my testimony. He said there's never a no answer. Obviously, with time constraints or if I'm in another place, I can't. But he was saying, don't ever be afraid to step into and share the gospel and share your testimony. And another way, he was also saying, be ready and do it. And I even grew into areas where I asked for opportunities. And I learned to put myself in areas where I'm going to grow. And I also, listen, this is something that not everyone wants to do, but if you're going to take the call to grow, then you need to learn to put yourself in positions where you can fail and fail miserably. We tend to stay in areas of comfort and ease, and we tend to measure things. Well, I can do that. Well, when's the last time you did something you couldn't do? Isn't that great? When's the last time you did something that you couldn't do, and something that wasn't familiar to you, something that was a challenge that caused you to have to learn and have to depend on someone? And that's the exciting part, isn't it? It's so exciting. It's scary. I get it. But it's also super exciting to be a part of things that are outside your comfort area, or, you know, the cliche, outside of your comfort zone. And remember, cliches, they often don't get a lot of credit because they're called cliches, but there is so much truth in them. And take the call. Let's rise to the call. Number two, when you're rising to the call of improving yourself, include and involve people to help you. Like, involve people to help you. And I'm going to tie it in with a couple more principles, but consider this. Get to know people that can help you. Like this podcast, I've received a lot of feedback and people reaching out to me that in some ways they believe I can help them. So they text me, they call me, they email me, and we begin to talk about ministry and life and leadership together because they've asked. And I know a lot of people are afraid to ask. And a lot of people, maybe you're afraid because, again, what will people think? Or I don't know what to say. Or don't be afraid. Just do it. Face your fears. Face your fears and do it. Involve people. Maybe there's another podcast you listen to or a pastor that you really appreciate. Email them. Call them. Call them at the church and leave a message. You'll be surprised that if they don't get back to you themselves, they might have someone else get back to you. Like there are, if there's a business leader, a book that you like, a book that, like, you know, you like John Maxwell. If John Maxwell's resources have helped you, write him a note. Send him a note. Now with social media too, a lot of the layers have been broken down where you can DM somebody directly. And a lot of these guys, they handle their own social media. Even if they don't, because of the load the amount, they may connect you with somebody close to them. I've met so many wonderful people. I think of how impactful Greg Laurie has been in my life through his teaching. And I could put Skip Heitzig in that same category. And while I haven't had the privilege yet to meet Greg Laurie, we had the privilege of meeting his key staff. And they even made time for us on a visit to their church to give us a tour, answer our questions. I was so blessed by that. And you're right. You know, Pastor Greg was busy. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. He was doing what God called him to do. But he had a team around him that was a wealth of valuable information to me and my team as we had this little window in Riverside. We were out for a conference, and we were to drive out to Riverside and spend about an hour. I mean, that was amazing. I love those guys. And of course, you know, I met other men that I have ongoing friendships with, Mark Arenas and Mark Finnegan, and quite a few guys that are a part of the Harvest family or were part of the Harvest family. You'd be surprised how people will get back to you. And of course, I mentioned Skip Heitzig. We've had time personally, one-on-one with Pastor Skip, his son, Pastor Nate, just by asking. And I know that that's not possible for everyone. Even if you reach out to me, that may, it may take a little bit of time, or we may not be able to meet personally. I don't know. But believe me, the reality of us connecting can be from the Lord. You just got to ask. Don't be too timid, and also don't be too prideful. Some people don't ask because they think they know it all. And I mean, I'm pretty sure you listening to the podcast, even if you're listening, you go, I heard this. I mean, that may not be the best place to be, because you probably have heard this, but rather you're hearing it to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be instructed. Sometimes you just need to hear it from a fresh voice. So let's not be so prideful to think that we know it all, because we don't. There's nothing new under the sun, and we're not God. So there's always something to learn, but also don't be too timid where you're like, well, they'll never answer me. Well, even if they don't, you step down, put yourself out there, and you keep trying, keep knocking, Jesus said, keep seeking, keep asking. When it comes to prayer, I think the same principle can be said about people. And while you're involving people, even if you can't interact with them personally, be a good observer, watch them, listen, take notes, be able to learn from them, learn from their teachings. I was speaking to someone recently, and a lot of what I learn is I ask the Lord to give me ears when I'm listening to a Bible study. Give me ears to understand the principles that are being shared so that, God, I might be able to practice that in my leadership that you've entrusted to me. Let me give you another one. Number three, commit, make a commitment. Okay, number one, make a commitment to improve yourself and tell someone about that commitment. You know, make a commitment, and just, you're listening to this podcast right now and you're saying, okay, well, I commit to improve myself. Okay, now tell someone. You want to email me, you want to tell your pastor, you want to tell the staff and the team you're serving with, you want to tell your husband, tell your wife. Make a commitment and share it with someone, because nobody can force you to improve yourself. Only you can control your intake, and only you can control how you want to grow. But when you tell someone and you say it out loud and you tell someone and you make a commitment, not only can they hold you accountable, but now you're going to hold yourself accountable, because the best accountability is self-accountability between you and the Holy Spirit. So make a commitment. And let me give you another one. Number four, break a bad habit. Identify a bad habit in your life and then make a commitment to break it with the grace gift of God. If you eat too much candy, make a commitment to stop that. If you overeat, period, and it is affecting your health, I was one of the reasons many years ago, God really impacted my heart to lose weight and get healthy, was that every single book I ever read on pastoral ministry and leadership seemed to always have a page, a chapter, a section on being healthy and being the best, having the best body physically to use for the Lord. And that convicted me, because I was not healthy. I was overweight because of a bad habit straight up in my life. It was a bad habit. and I wasn't healthy. So maybe there's an element of being healthy for the sole reason of pleasing God and being used by Him. If you're lazy, make a commitment to break the habit of laziness, because these things are not good leadership qualities in our lives. Break a habit. Identify and break a habit. Maybe it's exercise. You need to exercise more. Well, let's not joke about it anymore. Let's make it happen. Just go out and walk around the block once. Just let's start. Let's do this. Let's do this. You can do it. I believe it. I know you can. You're already there. You're already wanting to. And this speaks loudly, whether it's acknowledged or not, with the people that you lead, because you're improving yourself. You're doing in your own life first what you're asking others to do in their lives collectively for the sake of the ministry. Break a habit. And another thing you can do, number five, is to read. As I mentioned earlier, readers are leaders, and you can access the greatest wisdom from leaders in every generation by just reading. And then I always hear, well, I'm not a reader. Okay, then get an audiobook. Let it be read to you and take notes while you're hearing it. But be a reader and read, read, read. You know, 80% of people don't read a book in a year. And high percentages of people don't visit the Kindle store or a bookstore. I mean, I look at that. It's pretty obvious that with social media, reading large books or reading, you know, from beginning to end has become passé. But reading is where it's at. Reading is, you can learn anything about anything by reading a book. And of course, how does God draw us into relationship but by reading? So I would encourage you, read a book. Make a commitment, read a book. It can start small, but pick a topic and read a book. And there's a lot. If you want to email me, I can give you a list. I'll send you a list of books that we recommend here. You email me at ed@edtaylor.com. I'll flip it around with an email and give you a link to download a reading list that we use here. It's not exhaustive, and the goal is like personal spiritual discipleship. But it's a tool that we use here, and I would love to be a part of you continually improving yourself, not becoming stagnant, not becoming settled, but pushing on, pressing on, growing in God's grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number one, remember, take the call to grow, include and involve other people, ask questions, don't be prideful, don't be timid, make a commitment, share it with someone else. Break a habit, break two habits, break three habits. Read, 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 read. Man, this brings us to the end of today's episode. I love this stuff. I hope you do too. Thanks for connecting with me. 720-608-0012. Text me there. I love to hear from you. Ideas, feedback. Email me, ed@edtaylor.org. If you want to receive any of these things, just let me know. I probably should put up a resource page on my website, but we're not there yet, but pretty soon, I hope so. But you can email me and I'll just send you the link. And I really appreciate being a very small part of the huge work that God's doing in your life. Until next time, leave us a review, would you please, wherever you get your podcast. Tell somebody about it, share it on your social media. And until next time again, may the Lord bless you and encourage you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.